that can really help both the attorney and the patient ultimately in recovery by documenting medically what activities of daily living have been impacted by the injuries that the patient sustained, as well as putting in their records why the treatment is medically necessary and appropriate given the injury that was sustained.
Welcome to Crash Course, the guiding voice for those affected by life-altering accidents. I'm your co-host, Kara.
I'm your co-host, Amara.
And we're honored to be here with you on this crucial journey.
Each week, we're dedicated to supporting injured victims by sharing essential insights, practical advice, and reliable information to navigate the maze of recovery and insurance complexities.
Whether you're striving for peace of mind during the claims process or seeking ways to rebuild your life after an accident, this podcast is your beacon of guidance.
We're here to empower you with bite-sized tips and expert insights, free from any vested interests, ensuring you have the tools to navigate this challenging time.
So, if you're directly impacted by an injury, join us weekly as we unravel the complexities, offer clarity, and provide a supportive community.
Get ready to regain control and find your path forward with Crash Course. Hi, Kara.
Hi, Amara. How you doing?
I'm good. It's been a week. One of my cats escaped, so we had to trap it and get it back, but he's home safe now.
Miss Cat Lady over there with her six adorable little ones.
Yep.
All right. Well, so you set up the trap.
Yep.
Your cat was rescued.
Yes. He's home now. He's very happy to be home. He was not meant to be an outdoor kitty.
Yeah, we were a little stressed this week over this, but
yes.
We're happy that he is safe and sound.
Yes, thank you.
Anyway, thank you for joining us for podcast number two. Today we have two topics we want to talk about, and one of them is how to choose your doctor wisely. That is, if you have a choice, depending on your state. And the number two topic we will address is just common misconceptions about insurance adjusters, or you might know it as nurse case managers. Around the selection of doctors. And we're going to emphasize the rights of the injured party, which is hopefully you. We want to first talk about understanding your rights in the particular state that you're in. So depending on your geographical location, it will determine whether or not you can choose your doctor, or maybe you don't have a choice. So it's really important you do your due diligence as a patient to look up your state and find out if you have a choice or not. So for example, we're going to talk about Arizona, which is a right to choose state.
Yes.
There, like I said, are different implications from state to state. So Amara, you want to talk about the personal injury side of what that looks like in
Absolutely.
Arizona?
Yeah. So Arizona is set up in what I think is a pretty interesting way. It's very patient friendly. At the end of the day in Arizona, you can choose whatever provider you are comfortable with for whatever type of treatment you need, be that more traditional care like primary care doctor, medical practitioner, physical therapy, or if you want to go a more naturopathic route, you can see a naturopath and a chiropractor, and really whatever you are comfortable with is what you're allowed to seek in Arizona.
Awesome. Yeah, and same with work comp. I mean, you have the right to select your initial treating physician. So that means that you can look to your community. I always recommend going to different Facebook groups if that's something that you like to do, because I know that there's a big outreach there and a community base that gives you a lot of recommendations and referrals for particular doctors or anything in the community, really.
But, yeah, and same thing with Google reviews or your Nextdoor app. It's good to just get a sense of who's used somebody before for medical care, especially in an acute injury situation like an accident at work or a car accident or a slip and fall, where you're not necessarily dealing with, you know, the same doctors who you would see for a cold or something like that. You're seeing somebody who can really address an acute new symptom or acute new injury.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of doctors are those usually? Because we talk about, we have a lot of patients who want to see their primary care doctor, mm-hmm. but maybe that's not in their best interest for this particular injury. What would you recommend?
So I definitely recommend making sure that there's an initial conversation with the doctor's office to make sure that they do handle injury claims, be that a workers' compensation claim or an auto accident or slip and fall. Many primary care doctors especially do not. A lot of urgent cares won't assist if it's an acute injury. They'll send you straight to the hospital. There's a lot of reasons for that. The number one reason really is that the insurance companies make it very difficult on doctors. They have to submit very specific medical reports that are not the same as they typically standard generate for, you know, the patients that they see for the flu or something. They're required to give legal opinions on causation and mechanism of injury, which a lot of, you know, a lot of primary care doctors and urgent care providers are just not familiar with what that entails, and they're not comfortable doing it. So they just won't. And they'll either see you and still treat you, but they won't put it in the records that it's related to this injury, which then affects potentially getting paid for that later. Or they'll just turn you away entirely.
Mm-hmm. So you recommend going to the physician's office, asking if they're a doctor's office that accepts workers' comp or personal injury, slip and fall. And then what do we look, what type of doctor do we look for? Pain management doctor?
Yeah. So it really depends on the patient's, you know, preference in a lot of ways. I firmly believe that you have to be comfortable with the care that you're getting in order for it to work. So in my practice, I've kind of got two different paths of the patients that I, the clients that I have and the doctors that they're comfortable with. The more naturopathic route, typically my clients like to start with a chiropractor, get referred out to an NMD, a naturopathic doctor, and kind of go that more natural healing route. There's the other kind of more traditional medicine route where you might see, you might start with an MD who specializes in accident cases, who would then refer out typically to physical therapy for an initial conservative care session. And then if that doesn't work, send out to pain management, get imaging like MRIs done. And then if pain management still doesn't work, potentially a surgical intervention. But it both depends on your level of comfort as well as obviously the extent of your injury. I do always recommend that a client get evaluated by an MD or a naturopath and an NMD if possible, just to have that kind of second set of eyes and that blessing on the case to make sure that all of the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, really.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's a couple paths a patient can take, you know, more of the, it depends on the severity of the injury as well, what you're going to jump right into. So, and usually most of these injuries from my experience has started with, you know, imaging. So finding the MRI center that you want to use is even something you can do. But referrals are super important. And on that topic, I mean, usually attorneys have, if you're seeing an attorney, which we recommend, we mentioned that last podcast, but a lot of times attorneys will have a network of doctors already that they may be able to recommend to you. And I kind of want to talk about that because there are some benefits to the network that your attorney will use of doctors. Some positive reasons are, you know, some of the medical opinions that the doctors have might align with kind of their legal strategy and help sort of strengthen that case in the end. And that's obviously in the best interest of the client, a strong case. Some of the negative things, though, I can think of are like some ethical concerns, maybe a perceived sort of attempt to manipulate any medical records or opinions. So that's always something to kind of keep on your radar a little bit. And I wanted to give an example for something like that. But in my experience, I've had patients who will maybe on the more conservative side, need PT versus jumping right into surgery. However, they might be recommended to go see a surgeon right away instead. And there is some financial benefit there. So just a little thing to like think about. I don't know if you agree, Amara.
Absolutely. No, it's very important to make sure that there's full disclosure really between you, the doctor, and your attorney so that you know if there is some sort of back end deal or something happening. A lot of states have recently allowed for referral fees and things to occur. And that's a big change ethically in our profession. And so that should be fully disclosed to the patient, to the client, to know if there is some sort of kickback or some sort of arrangement. It's not something that I personally do in my practice, but I do know that it is becoming more common.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, being in marketing where I'm at, you know, I'm running around just kind of seeing those incentives that are given out or the kickbacks that are, you know, out there. So it is really important to think about, you know, who you're using as your doctor, and are they doing things and practicing in an ethical manner?
Yeah.
It is something that's really hard to discern, right? But these are some tips to kind of be at least aware of what's going on, and so that you have the right questions in your tool bag to ask.
And you're always entitled, just like you are in normal medicine, if somebody's suggesting a surgery and you don't feel 100% right about that, get a second opinion. You know, it's going to cost maybe a few hundred to a few $1,000s in the grand scheme of things compared to a $50,000 or $100,000 surgery. It's a drop in the bucket. And you just have that peace of mind to know for sure that that is a consensus in the medical community that you need this surgery, as opposed to maybe taking more conservative care options or approaches to avoid, you know, cutting.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. I want to take a little deeper dive into what it looks like for attorneys when they choose a doctor to work with, some of the ramifications and implications around like their choice to work with somebody or not to work with somebody. But one of them that I know right off the bat is like the legal case expertise. So a lot of doctors don't have legal case expertise. So they really want to work with those who are willing and able to kind of go down that route. Anything you want to add to that?
I just always look for doctors who, one, know what the terminology is that is needed in their notes to make sure that the case is viable in a personal injury or a workers' compensation claim. Things specifically like a causation opinion saying that it's my belief, more likely than not, that this incident caused this injury. It's as simple as that, but it's amazing how many times you don't have that in records. Also, just a more modern approach to it in terms of, you know, not handwriting your notes anymore, making sure that they're typed and easy and legible and easy to follow. You know, that all goes a long way when we're trying to prove up a claim.
Yeah. Believe it or not, doctors need to have a compelling medical insights as well as attorneys. You know, when when you're arguing a case and you're really advocating on behalf of a patient, you really have to, you know, understand that, you know, these, you have to back up really kind of, you know, the reasons why you would want to give this particular patient medical attention and what those reasons are. Anyways, so another thing is really effective patient advocacy. So anything you want to add with that?
Just making sure, again, and you know, doctors who are trained on medical note taking or medical notes for accident claims can add a lot in what are called the SOAP notes about daily activities that are affected by their by the injuries for the clients. And that can really help both the attorney and the patient ultimately in recovery by documenting medically what activities of daily living have been impacted by the injuries that the patient sustained, as well as putting in their records why the treatment is medically necessary and appropriate given the injury that was sustained. And so that's really key and essential in us being able to maximize the case value.
Awesome. Yeah, good. All good points. Another one I can think of is like the relationship that maybe the attorney has with this doctor or with the judges, sort of that pre-existing relationship that they have, and how, you know, sort of that relationship will help when they present medical facts favorably in court. So relationships are really important. That they've already established one with the judge, with, you know, the attorney and the doctor. There's an entire synergy that goes on in court. And obviously we want everybody to kind of see things be aligned. And do you have anything to add with the strong relationships between the doctor and attorneys?
I think it also goes toward the overall credibility of the medical opinion. So if you have a doctor who you know is going to testify well, who isn't afraid to get in front of a jury or do a deposition or go in front of the industrial commission for a work comp case, you know that they're going to present well, be articulate, and give the information that's needed to back up the treatment that they provided. And so that mutual trust between the attorney and the provider really does aid in making me being able to give my clients good advice about whether or not their claim is viable in court.
Yeah, all good points. Definitely. Thanks, Amara.
Of course.
One thing that attorneys, that I notice attorneys really look for is a doctor who has availability, who can commit to having time in their schedule and flexibility to accommodate court hearings and just being present and, you know, when necessary, they might have to give testimony. So all these things can be really crucial in supporting the legal proceedings. So I think availability and commitment to this is very important as well, and having the time in their schedule.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's something that a lot of, you know, when you're injured, you're not going to think about, oh, my, you know, in 2 years, my doctor might be called to testify about this. But that's something as your attorney that I am thinking about, to make sure that the doctor is prepared, willing, able to support the claim that we're trying to present for our client.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to kind of just circle back to when selecting a doctor, you know, this group that you're going to be working with is super important, you know, and just trying to find out, are they prioritizing their own interests over yours? So as an injured person, you just want to make sure that your interest is number one and that the group that you're working with is all on board with that. So those are some questions to ask. Those are some things to think about and just to give you a little bit of awareness. So
1,000%. Yeah. You should be getting better throughout the course of your care. If you feel like you're not getting better, your doctor should be able to explain why and should be making a recommendation to refer you out, not just hold on to you as a patient to increase their billing. That's something that I've seen, and it's something that, you know, we always try to be aware of on our end to help the patient get better. The other thing is to make sure that your doctor is articulating to you why you're injured and setting realistic expectations about recovery. Sometimes it's just going to take a long time to get better, and other people get better very quickly. And if you're feeling better and like you don't need care anymore, and your doctor's saying you still need to come in, they should be able to explain to you why that is. And sometimes there's a very good reason that has nothing to do with their bill. It has to do with long-term prognosis and maintaining, you know, a healthy spine or whatever it might be. But you should definitely have those questions answered.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. I want to jump right into topic number two, where we are going to address some common misconceptions and misinformation that insurance adjusters, or also known as case managers, might propagate regarding selection of doctors. But before we do that, I just want to kind of go over, what is it? What is an adjuster? What's a case manager? From my experience, I see these people are hired by like the insurance company, and they're communicating from you to healthcare providers, and they're just kind of navigating your case and your claim, and also communicating to the insurance company. So do you have anything to add about the adjusters, nurse case managers, and kind of what that role looks like?
Yeah. So the number one thing I think it's important to realize and remember is who's paying their salaries and what are they doing? So, you know, an adjuster or nurse case manager is hired by the insurance company, which is a for-profit company. And so their role is really to minimize the payment on a claim. They want to mitigate their damages and their bottom line. So an adjuster or a nurse case manager, their role is to, you know, process the claims as quickly as possible and get them to resolution. And they're not they're looking out for their bottom line, not the, not typically the patient usually.
Yeah. And while they can be very helpful and, you know, facilitate mm-hmm. your injury, your care, keeping in mind that their allegiance really is to the insurance company, and they are sometimes influenced by cost. That's one of the main ones, because the insurance company really wants them to minimize financial impact, like you said. So,
and especially on the workers' compensation side, the thing that I see the most is, you know, the employer is the one who's paying for this workers' compensation insurance, and so the client really is not the patient; it's the employer. And so a lot of the time I see that these nurse case managers are, or adjusters are, tend to work with doctors and apply some pressure even to doctors to get patients cleared to go back to their workplace as soon as possible. And I often have conflicting medical opinions with what I do, where, you know, the doctor for the workers' compensation carrier is saying they're good to go back to work. The patient is saying, no, absolutely, I'm not. And the patient's other doctor on the personal injury side of the claim is saying, no, they're not. And so that's something that can get tricky to navigate sometimes, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's all about money, and getting the employee back to work is in the employer's best interest. And that's, again, who the actual client is of the workers' compensation insurance company.
Yeah, exactly. And can I ask you, if you were injured and you were working with a case manager, what would your best approach be with them? Like, it's really hard to discern whether or not they have your interest, or they're just trying to wrap the claim up or cut costs or get you to return to work early. Mm-hmm. So that they can minimize that cost for the insurance company. So if you're working with one, are there any questions you see patients asking them or anything we should look out for?
I think if you're getting pressured to go back to work before you feel physically capable, that's when it's really important to honestly reach out to a workers' compensation attorney who's going to advocate for you, because that's where, you know, it's all kind of a game. And so oftentimes once an attorney gets involved, it goes to a different adjuster entirely, and it gets handled in a very different way. And it's unfortunate that that's how the system works, but that is how it works. And you just, you know, sometimes that's just the route to go. Otherwise, it's really just articulating what your physical limitations are that are preventing you from doing the physical aspects of the job that you're being asked to do. And, you know, advocating for yourself with the nurse case manager and with the provider that they're sending you to. But it can definitely be an uphill battle. And so having somebody advocate for you on your side can be essential.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all that. And next week, we're actually going to talk about just being honest about your situation and your injury and how you're feeling. And it goes the same with the nurse case managers. You know, you really want to be honest with what exactly you're experiencing throughout the whole process and while you're receiving medical attention and care. So anyway, on that note, thank you for joining us in the studio today. On behalf of Amara, and I'm Kara. We are so looking forward to next episode. So come back, where we'll talk about being honest, like we said, with what you're going through with your attorney. And then we'll explore the significance of transparent communication regarding your personal challenges and the crucial role that it plays for effective medical attention. So thank you so much for joining us today. Any final notes, Amara?
No, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And we look forward to continuing to educate you through this process.
Thank you. You guys have a great day. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Crash Course Podcast.
We hope you found it both insightful and empowering.
If you found value in today's episode, we'd greatly appreciate your support.
Please subscribe to our podcast and share your thoughts by leaving a review on your preferred platform.
Your feedback is invaluable in helping others discover the guidance we offer.
Don't miss out on updates and exclusive content. Follow us on Instagram and YouTube at Crash Course to stay connected with upcoming episodes and behind-the-scenes insights.
Your presence in our podcast community means everything.
Until next time, remember, stay resilient, keep learning, and keep moving forward.